Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Almost certainly the last video of the year. And here's what I'm asking: why the United States is turning against Israel, how young Americans are less Zionist than any generation since the 1940s. Because for decades, there was a consensus between the two parties in the United States, the Republicans and the Democrats, that they had to be very, very supportive of Israel. And so it's often a bipartisan effort to pass these huge aid packages to Israel. And it's true that in the old days, Israel was not very wealthy, but these days is a very wealthy country indeed. So you look at this GDP per capita, it's almost up there with the United States. Now, Israel's got an impressive military manufacturing sector. It's excellent pharmaceuticals, telecommunications. And I know from IT people, is there really, they are the masters of, say, encryption, of breaking into people's encryption systems, things like that. It's partly because Issa the Little, the founder of Mossad, quoted the Bible, by subterfuge ye shall do battle, that there they were girt around by foes, hugely outnumbered, and the only way they could win was by intelligence, by foreseeing the enemy's moves and then being able to do things that the enemy didn't see coming, surprise attacks and so forth. But US presidential candidates used to fall over themselves to outdo their rivals in terms of Zionism. So US politicians were reflectively Zionist. I remember in the 2000 presidential debates, the candidates of George W. Bush and Al Gore, and they supported each other's position several times with regard to Israel, and they strove to outdo each other in being blindly supportive of Israel. And Bill Clinton said he was the second most Zionist U.S. president ever, possibly false modesty, and he solemnly intoned that America has no truer friend than Israel. So it really was staggering. And Israel being the largest single recipient of U.S. financial aid, despite it having only 900 million people. Moreover, the United States military sharing its most advanced military technology with the Israelis and so forth. The USA wielding its UN Security Council resolution, veto against resolutions. So wielding that veto in favor of Israel on many occasions. So it was staggering that Israel did so little for the United States in return. And all right, they vote their way to support sanctions against Cuba, things like that, and they would share some of their intelligence and military technology with the United States. But my point is, when the United States fought abroad in Korea, in Vietnam, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, Somalia, in Grenada, in Panama, wherever it was, Israel sent not a single soldier. By contrast, the United Kingdom, for example, sent troops in most of these conflicts and often got short shrift from Uncle Sam. So Tel Aviv often appeared to have the final say on U.S. Foreign policy regarding the Middle East. Other considerations like human rights, international law, oil prices, or even America's own self-interest got second billing. Now, why is this? Now, you do hear these crackpot theories. There is no Zionist wealth conspiracy that ever, ever has been. Okay, there are Zionist elements in the United States, and I don't use that synonymous with Jews, because some Jews are non-Zionist, some are anti-Zionist, especially those religious, and most of the Zionists in the world are Christian fundamentalists. They're not Jewish. Okay, and so we go on. But any American politician who dared to criticize Israel, he or she would quickly find out this is the fast way out of politics. The Zionist lobby would round this person viciously to the person that was gone. Remember this AIPAC, the Israeli-American Public Affairs Committee, donating to politicians of both candidates to make sure that whoever win, it would be a Zionist who would win. And most members of Congress, most senators, they were signed up to AIPAC, okay? Inviting the Israeli Prime Minister, whoever it was, to come and address them. So they appeared to have the two parties in lockstep about this one. They appeared to really just control the narrative, what was said. Palestinians were always terrorists, Israelis were always good. And Israel was quite savvy about media, making sure, speaking to Americans, they'd have an Israeli with an American accent, but it wasn't Israeli-American, to the UK, a British-Israeli, so it's the same accent, or to France, a French-Israeli, and so forth. And people really aren't that superficial. Oh, he, she is one of us. We can trust this person. In those days, the Palestinians often couldn't speak fluent English. And there were enough media outlets that were, Zionist-aligned, by people who are deeply sympathetic to Israel. And I don't deny their right to raising forth their views and things like that, or likewise academics or donors to universities who would make sure that people were told what to believe. But this seems to be less effective than ever before. So metaphorical pockets of slime put over the head of anyone who questioned Israel's actions. Anyone who says this is an anti-Semite, or you're perpetrating an anti-Semitic trope, you're a terrorist sympathizer, you're a traitor, you're a Nazi. So these are the epithets that are thrown around against people. But anyway, obviously there are Jewish people who have the moral courage to criticize Israel when it's breaking international law, humanitarian law, but they're told to exist that they're self-hating Jews. And when some a Jewish American said, no, Israel should not be extending these settlements, these illegal colonies in the West Bank, one American Zionist said these Jewish people are worse than capos. Wow, what a foul allegation. A capo was a Jewish Christian concentration camp who cooperated with the SS guards in return for preferential treatment. Anyway, so any journalist or academic who said that Israel found it disobliging, that was it. I can't remember the woman's name, a very old woman, I think she's dead now, a Lebanese-American. And when she said something the Zionists found disobliging, that was she was out of White House press conferences, and actually she was fired by her newspaper, despite very decades of distinguished service. So the Zionists were very quick to withdraw funding, to initiate lawsuits, and they got their way. Anyway, by stark contrast, American politicians have often indulged the most lurid anti-Arab and Islamophobic memes. So anti-Palestinian and anti-Muslim vitriol appeared to be vote winners. And Newt Gingrich, who was a major figure in the Republican Party in the 90s, said that Muslims were like Nazis and so on. But there's a small but growing Muslim community in the United States. About 2% of Americans are Muslims. And these Muslim Americans are of different ethnicities. Now, some of them have moved in recent decades from other countries, become American citizens, like Somalia, come from Palestine itself, Egypt, Pakistan, Iran, Nigeria, and so forth. They're white Americans who've converted to Islam. They're African Americans who converted to Islam. And of course, they've been Muslims in the United States since before the United States, way back in the 17th century. So that black people abducted from West Africa, taken across the Atlantic to in slavery, were already Muslims. But anyway, so the situation, obviously, in Gaza and Israel is deplorable. I would like to see peace with justice there. But there was a lot of Islamophobic bile pumped out in the U.S. media. People like Nick Fuentes, Stephen Crowder, Tucker Carlson, others, and the late Charlie Kirk saying these things, as well as like mainstream politicians, particularly from the Republican Party, Donald Trump himself. But anyway, so some Muslim Americans tend to have some fellow feeling for the Palestinians, them being mostly Muslim, and their friends of Muslim Americans, left-wing American youngsters, often say, come on, Palestinians are human too. This situation can't go on. They've got to have a state. There could be a one-state solution, as in Israel and Palestine merge. And they dislike racism and brutality. So American public opinion is less sympathetic to Israel than any time since the 1940s. And obviously Israel was only founded, or perhaps I should say refounded, in 1948. Moreover, those under the age of 30 are more likely to identify with Palestine than Israel. So people getting to see what the situation is and the scale of the violence in Gaza was just so horrendous that, you know, a lot of people couldn't ignore it anymore. And so Palestinian Americans, they've been killed by Israel. A Palestinian American child is detained in Israel without trial for months. And it's something that Americans can't over ignore. So the Democrats used to be the more Zionist of the two parties. So the Jewish Americans, only 3% of the U.S. population, but they lean heavily towards the Democrats, and an extraordinarily successful community. The last time the Republican Party took against Israel was George H.W. Bush after the Gulf War, carrying out a threat to block funding to Israel, vetoed it after Congress passed. I can't remember what that was. It was Israel was blocking the peace process. But these days, the Republican Party is the one more blindly Zionist party, partly because it's 98th in the party of Christian fundamentalists. Now, the Christian fundamentalists are about 20% of the U.S. population, much more than that in the southern states, but they are loyal voters. They're a vote bank for the Republican Party. And the Old Testament says in the Bible, God gave Canaan, i.e. Palestine, to the Jews, that's Israel now. And the Jews says the children of Israel, i.e. Jews, are fighting against the Philistines, i.e. the Palestinians. So some of these Christian fundamentalists are very close-minded and very ignorant, and they're too purblind to know that 5% of Palestinians are Christians. So there are some Jewish Israelis, only a few, who openly revile Christianity. I've seen the videos. I don't want there to be any ill feeling between Christians or Jews or any religion, and no one should be mistreated for his faith. And that includes Jews, Hindus, Christians, Muslims, everyone, indeed atheists, agnostics too, those with lack of faith. Just as some people are bigoted towards Jews, and that is, of course, detestable. And some Israeli Jews correctly state that Christians persecuted Jews for many centuries before the 1940s, Muslims since then. So remember Senator Ted Cruz, he was the runner-up for the Republican nomination in 2016. But the Texan quoted the Bible, whoever blesses Israel should be blessed. I saw that in an interview with Tucker Carlson. He considered this Iron Age myth to be a manifesto for the 21st century. So one of the reasons for the move away from Israel is the decline of religiosity in the USA. The moderate Christians are less likely to be these automatic Zionists. And there's a great number of atheists and agnostics. So more educated Americans are beginning to realize what the situation is, and it's just not the case of like Israelis good, Palestinians evil, and so on. Okay, so a lot of demonstrations again in U.S. colleges about the genocide in Gaza, and some students were expelled. American students and foreign students had their visas revoked, they had to leave, they put years into their studies, tens of thousands of dollars, and it's all gone. So the U.S. government has taken draconian action to prevent people exercising their constitutional rights. And those who say, no, Palestinians are humans are called anti-Semites. And they're suing Harvard for creating a so-called anti-Semitic atmosphere. Well, I don't want an anti-Semitic atmosphere. That's definitely a bad thing. By the way, Palestinians are Semites too. So the U.S. has hurt its tertiary sector badly, education sector badly, because there were tens of thousands of foreign students there. Far fewer applying now, partly because of that, partly because Trump's general xenophobia. Yeah, the Trump administration's fixation on the idea that foreigners are a mortal peril to the US, to the USA. So, goodness. So there's a serious minority of Democrats who say Palestine needs to be recognized now and the violence in Gaza. And this has had major repercussions in the Democratic Party. So President Biden, when he was president, came under sustained pressure of the grassroots to get Israel to end its campaign in Gaza. So Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu repeatedly rebuffed any attempts to reduce the level of violence. Biden went so far as to suspend some weapons shipments. He was accused of betraying Israel, as though the U.S. has been blindly loyal to them. Black Lives Matter system says their blatant resonance between what happened to African Americans, what happened to Palestinians. I know Palestinians are actually enslaved. They say it, not me. They say there's an apartheid regime in the West Bank. So young left-wingers tend to be pro-Palestinian. Why not the two-tier justice? Israeli civilians in the West Bank, they're not even living in Israel, tried by civilian courts. Palestinians there, Israeli military courts. So land taken from Palestinians every single day, people compared to the Jim Crow laws and things like that. Goodness. So the Democratic Party was torn between his older voters, who tend to be Zionists, and his younger ones, who are not. And so the Democrats couldn't be Zionist enough for some, and couldn't be non-Zionist enough for others. So the Democrats, they speak of democracy, human rights, national self-determination, racial equality, and racial and religious equality. Well, it's very hard to square with what Israel was doing in Gaza or the West Bank. But these principles seem to be uniquely inapplicable in relation to Israel. So some Zionist Democrats seem to have a moral blind spot when it came to Israel. So that's why the Democrats were fatally split in 2024. Of course, it contributed to them losing that election. So Kamala Harris, when she had to be presidential candidate all of a sudden, she considered Josh Shapiro as a running mate, but she chose not to select the governor of Pennsylvania because he was too Zionist. For the Republican Party, it was very simple, be as utterly pro-Israel as possible, and you can't go wrong. Having said that, there are some Republicans in the more isolationist way who say, this is not in our national interests, it's against the war, we don't need to. Marjorie Taylor Greene, why are we giving them so much money? When we're $37 trillion in debt. No, it's just another country. We don't even trade with that much. We're not hostile to them. We don't need to be particularly amicable with them, and so on. They tried to persuade us to invade Iraq in 2003, and that was a bad thing to do. Okay, try to persuade, legitimate diplomatic activity. The US government didn't have to do what Tel Aviv encouraged them to do. And so it goes on. So came in on the second term of the 20th of January this year, vowing to end the carnage in Gaza. Well, after several months, he largely succeeded. It wasn't mostly due to him, partly because the Israelis were sick about what was going on. Israel wasn't completely deaf to protest abroad, and Israel realized they're wrecking their relations with countries that had long been sympathetic towards them, like France, the United Kingdom, Norway, Spain, and so on. It cost them an awful lot of money, and Netanyahu's many enemies correctly stated he was prolonging the conflict simply to postpone his trial for corruption charges. And Trump's America First attitude doesn't sit well with his unstinting support of a foreign country, with caring more about another country than one's own. So, yeah, Israel was eager for the United States to attack Iran in the 1980s and more recently, largely they haven't done it. Sometimes Israel has been useful to the United States because they do things the Americans don't want to have to do them, like bombing Iran. And incidentally, I know an Iranian woman, British Iranian woman, who's a kind of very secular Muslim, saying, oh, some people in Iran are cheering on what Israel's doing because they hope it will topple the regime. Well, it hasn't so far. Anyway, so look at Israel's not been very helpful to the US on issues like Ukraine. Israelis trade with Russia as normal. So look at Tucker Carlson. He was a Fox News shock jock, and he engaged in the foulest anti-Arab and anti-Muslim diatribe. He derided Iraqis as monkeys. He applauded the torture of Iraqis and the massacre of Iraqi civilians and so on. And even he resigned from what was going on in Gaza, saying, and he began saying the United States should be neutral on that. And he carries some sway. So look at the MAGA movement, Make America Great Again. It's a bit like America First in the 1930s to stay out of foreign wars. And that's why I say no advantage arises to us from supporting Israel. Don't fund them. We might sell them weapons, but we'll charge a market rate. And just indifference. Some Christian fundamentalists are saying we care about Christians, not about Jews and so on, or indeed Muslims. Okay, so the Zionist lobby is becoming less effectual than it was. Some Democrats and even some Republicans are breaking away from it. Let's let to see whether they get deselected before the elections. So Israel is in serious trouble with the US because they've only got one party clearly on their side, the Republicans. And even the Republicans are not as diehard pro-Israel as they used to be. So in the Democratic Party, the high command is still very Zionist, but the ordinary voters, less so. Look at the squad, those four young women, House Representatives, Democrats in 2018. Two of them are Muslims, and they get daily hate mail for their faith. But it's a sign that change is coming. So Israel thinks they've largely lost Europe. Most European Union countries recognize Palestine. Tel Aviv even broke off relations with Dublin. And a few European countries sell arms to Israel. Germany does so because of the Holocaust. And some young Germans saying, well, 80 years on, we don't have to do this. We should also think about the Palestinians. Okay. And then the Prime Minister of Spain even said if he had a nuclear bomb, he would threaten Israel with it. That's how bad the situation has got for Israel in Europe. But they've got to actually look at the actions of their own government. So even if the United States breaks off its alliance with Israel, Israel's in a fairly strong position. Obviously, they're much stronger than they've got the backing of Uncle Sam. They've got superb technology and such enviable military manufacturing, superb pharmaceutical sector, financial services. They found oil. They've got a cordial relationship with a neighbor, Cyprus. And then they've even got diplomatic relations with Somaliland. So they've got an excellent intelligence service. Remember an RAF officer told me years ago, he thinks the Israeli Air Force is the best in the world, particularly the personnel. So they can buy influence in African countries and so on and tap into anti-Muslim prejudice, but yeah, is not as good as it was for Israel. They do need to worry if this trend isn't reversed.